So today's episode just brings me deep, deep joy. It's the end of January, and I was in need of some deep joy because it's went on forever. Not only that, you may have seen on Insta and stuff that I've been laid up with a broken toe after getting it fixed in the very lovely Montefiore Hospital in Brighton. It's a shame that, a lot of people are having to go private and stuff, but anyway. Managed to go and do it. That was sorer than the operation. But it was just a five-star experience. And honestly, it was like going away to a country hotel and obviously people drilling your foot. But apart from that, great service, every need met, Simpsons on the telly, Jammy Dodgers on tap with cups of tea after. So shout out to them. Thanks for fixing me. And I'll be up and about soon. Also, just want to say a thanks to the RMI for a couple of amazing awards that we won for Hospitality Rising the other night. We just couldn't be more pleased. And I think that's eight awards now for Hospitality Rising. So unbelievable. So, talking about great experiences and also talking about award winning, my next guest, who I've known on and off for about the last 15 years or so, is the amazing Robbie Barge. And you might know of Robbie because he's pretty famous. And he's the founder of global hospitality concept agency, Gorgeous Group. So he's the king of the cocktails. He's the master of food, master of environments and experiences. And we've just had the best chat, and I'm buzzing. I just haven't felt that excited in January because I've been in the house a lot. I've not been out and about, and I really get my energy from other people. And from the get-go, from millisecond one, I was just over the moon talking to Robbie. He's engaging, exciting, inspiring. And actually, I think we're going to sneak a wee lunch soon with Alison Vickers of XUO. So anyway, we're going to try and do that, and it'll just be life affirming to spend some time with them. And it's always great when you meet people like that. Now, it's a jam-packed episode full of great advice when you're thinking about starting a concept, bettering your concept. Now, the couple of things I wanted to run through here are we deep dive into the permit room, which is Dishoom's new thing in Brighton, and we talk about how the menu and the depth of menu and the copy and every single word and vowel and consonant was so important. So that's great. We touch on why Dry January needs to up its game all year round, and a great example set by Charlie Jilks at Fogg's. They're just doing such a great thing, and it's not the token mocktail on there and the low alcohol beer. They've made an experience out of it, and only the way that they can, and linking it to the new movie, or movie might not be new by the time this comes out, but Poor Things. Now, the most incredible thing that Robbie says on the whole thing, and it's been ringing in my ears loud and clear, and I think every single one of you is going to want to talk about this and think about this. Robbie says that he's in the business of emotion per square foot. Think about that. Emotion per square foot. It just blows my mind when he said that. I mean, what a thought. That's just incredible. So I think that's going to be a lot of people's new mantra going forward. Robbie also talks about less fine dining and more fun dining. Menus needing to flex up because we're not going out for meal times anymore. We're going out for occasions. Trends for 2024 we touch on, and he's mad passionate about breakfast and there being much more selection and thought put into breakfast offerings to make it truly all day with different time zones and different lifestyles and different dietary needs. Breakfast could be a really big thing. And the last thing he said, which I thought was fantastic, was talking about intuitive storytelling. And that was definitely squared at Dishoom as well in the way that they do it. Now, you can't start your business from a spreadsheet. You can't start your business from, oh, I think I might open a restaurant that's like this. If you don't have a story, I don't think your business will be anywhere near as successful as you want it to be. So that's absolutely the starting place, and it's the key to winning in 2024, 25, 26, and beyond.
Supersonic.
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 Supersonic. Supersonic.
Supersonic.
Welcome to Supersonic Hospitality Marketing with me, Mark McSee, where we meet the most interesting people in hospitality, marketing, business, and beyond to hear tips, tricks, and tales to help your brand boom. This podcast is sponsored by Vita Mojo, the all-in-one restaurant management platform helping operators grow ATV, reduce tech complexity, and serve guests better. And now, here's a quick word from our sponsors. Vita Mojo is proud to be the headline sponsor of the Supersonic Marketing Podcast. Vita Mojo transforms chaos into confidence for hospitality operators worldwide, empowering brands to streamline order management and take control of their business. With its flexible end-to-end order management system, Vita Mojo gives you one central place to manage your menu across every channel, brand, and location. But Vita Mojo is much more than an out-of-the-box software solution. The Vita Mojo team are with you every step of the way, providing the partnership you need, the technology you want, and the experience your guests deserve, all in one place. Vita Mojo will help you adapt to whatever the world throws at your hospitality business. For more information, visit vitamojo.com/supersonic. Hi, it's me, Mark McSee, with a quick message. Just to let you know, my day job, obviously, some of you might know, is being a brand and marketing advisor, strategist, coach, all these things for tech, B2B and hospitality businesses. Just to let you know that I'm actually going to have a couple of wee spaces, I think, opening up over the next few months. So if you need a me in your life and in your business to help you get more famous and help you grow those sales, then please get in touch. It's mark@supersonic.marketing, and I would love to hear all about your business and obviously help you too. And I'll be using experience from Pret, Dishoom, Rosa's Thai, Holiday Extras, SSP, Costa, and many, many more. So if you need a friendly neighbourhood brand and marketing advisor, then look no further and give me a wee shout. Also, if you can tell all your pals, that'd be really helpful too. So it gives me the most gorgeous pleasure ever to introduce my next guest, who is Robbie Barge, founder of global hospitality concept agency, Gorgeous Group. Hello.
Hey, Mark. Lovely to be with you, and what a great intro. Thank you so much.
That's all right. And on a Monday morning as well, you've done well.
No, it's Monday morning. Sun's shining in London, but it's good. It's good to be here.
Well, we were having a wee chat just off mic there, and you know, you're making me feel bad because you're up exercising every morning, you know, and starting the day right, whereas I'm hitting the snooze button and going, oh God, do I have to? So yeah, I need to change my outlook once I'm up and about with this toe.
I can't even start my day or even think about doing anything creative without doing something which gets my heart going. So exercise is really key for me, and it's part of my life. It's a really important part of my life. So yeah, and with that is, and also when you've got clients in different time zones and you want to read stuff before the work, you know, before the working day starts, it's really, you know, it's something I've been doing for the last 20 odd years, and I think I'll continue for the next 20 years. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. All right, well, and the rest. And so, I mean, in terms of just an interesting thing to talk about then, so you've been leading, you know, Gorgeous Group for, you know, the last 20 years, did you say?
Yeah.
So, you know, how did it all come about? And then, you know, I'd also be really interested to touch on, you know, leading a business, inspiring others, how you organize yourself, because, you know, I bet you never know what time zone you're in half the time, you know?
Yeah, it can be. I mean, interestingly, I was in operations for, you know, quite a few years, and I worked with my heroes. You know, I worked for quite a while with people like Karen Jones and Peter Weber and Alan Yao, and, you know, and they, you know, they, you know, I had a really amazing time in operations, working in some great restaurants and great bars. And I think I found myself in a position about just over, 21, 22 years ago, where I had a couple of opportunities to do something which took me out of operations, but was still involved in operations. And that was really sort of made me realize there was an opportunity to perhaps do something a little bit different. The very first project I worked on was, I was a client I'm working with today, interestingly, was to create an amazing destination bar, style bar in those days, for the, Park Lane Hilton. Which is great. And today I, Hilton, one of my clients, and we've been working with them, for the last sort of 20 odd years. And then the other projects I was very fortunate to work on was Hakkasan, the very first Hakkasan with Alan Yao. So it was that, they were very, brilliant first projects. So, you had an amazing, subterranean destination, sort of 1950s Shanghai, beautiful, evocative, next level Chinese restaurant. And then you had a great style bar, which, was leading the way and way ahead of its time when it came for, something different from a drinks concept. So, so that sort of kicked off my work, my gorgeous group as such. And then over the years, we have evolved, and 90% of our work is with, or 80% of my work is with hotels. This is pretty much global in different markets. So Middle East, Europe, US, UK, and then, it takes us to every single, style of hotel as well. So luxury, super luxury, lifestyle, the big brands as well. We do an awful lot of work with the big guys. But yeah, it's pretty, pretty incredible. And I'm very fortunate. Every day I wake up, I jump out of bed, and I love what I do. What we do for our clients is pretty much the same process, but every single one is different. And and my job as heading up Gorgeous Group is really to get my clients and get to get comfortable about getting uncomfortable and take a bit of a journey. And my team is pretty much to inspire them and to push them and to support them in delivering some great solutions for our clients. So we're very fortunate, and it's as I say, every day is different, but the challenges around the world are pretty much the same. We just need to, you just need to look at it in that perspective. And working around the world, it only gets more exciting. It's one of those things. I'm very fortunate to get on a plane most weeks and find myself in a different city, in a different country, a different culture. But I'm able to use that experience to inspire myself as well, and get an understanding of what actually is happening in the world. But it's always great coming back to London, and it's always the best journey in the world is actually coming back and landing at Heathrow or City Airport or Gatwick with a feeling of, I'm back in metropolis. It's great, but it can be exhausting. But it's, I thrive on that, and that's why I have to get up every morning and do exercise wherever I am.
Well, I mean, it's the best way to do it. And then also, I really enjoy what you're saying about, being inspired by all these other cultures and all the things that you're seeing. And I mean, obviously you might get physically tired, but I don't know if you'd ever get emotionally tired of constantly being in a new place. Because, like, I always felt when I was traveling my work, hopefully I'll do a lot more. It kind of slightly got killed during COVID a bit. But I almost felt like I shouldn't be there. I was like, they've flown me over to this country. Like, really? Wow. You just felt like you just felt kind of giddy. And I always think back to when I was at primary school, if you ever had an away football game. So you got your football strips and team talk at lunchtime, and you get the afternoon off to go and travel to another school. And you're always, it's the most exciting thing ever. But just sitting in another boardroom, sitting in Madison Avenue in New York, being presented to, And you're just going, whoa, what have I done to, you just feel so lucky, don't you?
There is, there is a bit of that imposter syndrome right at the very beginning, especially. And now, every now and again, I'm very lucky to, to work with some great clients. But, no one, you're there for a reason. You're there to deliver something.
Yeah.
And you're there to learn, and you're there to, take something on board, or, to get insights. There's no such thing as just a jolly,
No.
You have to deliver. And my clients, our clients, they've got needs and requirements, and we are there to deliver. We're not selling bedrooms or selling widgets or meals. We're specialists. We're consultants. I hate that word, but we are, and we advise clients. People pay us for our, for our expertise. So we, we have a key purpose, which is to deliver success and to make things better. And I think that's really important. And when you look at our business, our business is, there's two core parts of our business. And one is coming up with, with new, amazing, hospitality experiences, which are memorable and transformative. And, and this is exciting and it's thrilling. And we work with, brands like Four Seasons and Otka and, Hyatt and Hilton and Langham. That's incredible. And, you're creating something new. It's exciting. But it's got to deliver something which is absolutely ROI. Absolutely. It's got to make a difference. And then the second part of our business is actually going into existing hotel properties and making the experience better, improving performance and helping to drive performance and drive profitability. So they are, that is our core business. And actually, doing that, we've been doing that for hotels, for the last 20 years. And actually now, for the last 3 or 4 years, we've taken that approach. And we're doing a little bit of work in luxury retail, a little bit of work in cruise liners, and working with airlines, and working with theatres and financial institutions, even applying that sort of approach with hospitality and sort of taking that and actually using that to make their businesses better. So it's you do feel whenever every single trip I do, there's a purpose for it, and my team as well. They invariably, I travel with one of the members of the team, and we don't get lost in the sort of glamour of everything. You just can't. You're there to deliver and to come up with an idea and think about how we can make things better. But to do that, you really understand. You have to understand what the opportunity looks like and quickly assess what the opportunity looks like in that city, in that location, in that property, with that team. So it's hard work, but we work hard to deliver for our clients. So yeah, I don't feel that guilty.
Yeah, no, that's a good thing. But yeah, I just thought, golf won the lottery here. This is fantastic. And then in terms of traveling, because I'm always interested in this with people that travel a lot, what's your travel routine and what's your travel hacks? So one of mine, for example, is no matter where I'm in the world and I'm, landed somewhere and I'm getting off, I always have headphones on and there's a song called Landed by Ben Folds, and I always play it without fail, no matter if I'm with someone or I have to play it. So have you got hacks, tips, tricks, rituals?
Being in the business I'm in, we are all about delivering experience and then, memorable and transformative experiences. And we're in the experience economy. So wherever I'm traveling to is an experience. So how I travel, what actually happens when I'm traveling, what I experience is really important. But yeah, I never travel with more than a wheelie, no matter where I'm going in the world. I smart travel, so I pack really, really well. I'm always ahead of time. I know exactly how airports run. I know most of the airports I go to time and time again. I get sort of, I know the shortcuts and I just get on with it. It's a means to an end. I don't look any other way. I very rarely watch films. I sleep a little bit. I where I can work, I work. It's practical, it's functional. There's a little bit of emotional connection as well. So I really like Profiling, you know, who's on the flight and sort of what's that market, what, you know, what is that guest, you know, where are they going, what they're going to do, because that's surely going to influence, you know, where I am going. I was in Mauritius a couple of weeks ago and I got an Air Mauritius flight, so I was able to understand the culture from Mauritius from a client point of view, from a guest, from a passenger point of view, even before I actually got to Mauritius. And I was able to understand the profile of the guest going to stay in Mauritius, so the holidaymaker, you know, the families and the couples, and and it was really important. So even before I land in Mauritius for the first time, I have a perception of the culture, of the audience, and you know, the needs and desires for that audience as well. So a bit of profiling, and you know, you ask the team on the plane certain questions, you get certain answers, and I'm always interested to know what the team in hospitality, when they're giving hospitality, you know, what, you know, where they go to, you know what they do and where they think the most popular places are. So I do a lot of digging, and you know, I never completely relax. I'm always completely thinking about the next 24 hours or the next 48 hours and what I've got to deliver. You know, and also, you know, but what I do like is actually the ability to switch off in that no one can get hold of me. So, you know, with the sort of internet access on planes now, I've got emails coming in and stuff, but no one can actually call you, or you don't have to respond to something on social media. So that's quite nice, just switching off a little bit. But I like the travel. I like the idea of getting away, and I get very excited. You know, I grew up in Manchester, and you know, my parents didn't have much money. You know, my mum brought us up, and you know, I didn't go abroad till I was 17, 18. So I didn't spend my childhood in fancy hotels or fancy restaurants.
Same.
The first I went to was the Beefeater at the Heaton Park Hotel in Manchester when I was 18, you know, 17. And it was a big deal. So every trip I make the most of what it is. So I make sure it's time well spent, you know, and that's really important from you know, it's also important because that's what we do for, you know, as a business, where, you know, we're designing experiences for guests to really have amazing time, amazing moments, time well spent, memorable moments and transformative moments. So traveling is part of that. And I really love it. And, you know, and it's always nice. It's always a packed itinerary. So I'm always packing more than I can do. You know, and that's because you need to see as much as you can and talk to as many people as you can. Of course, is you know, you get these little. When I was arriving in Mauritius a couple of weeks ago, there was a cyclone on the day I should have arrived. So I actually had to arrive a day later, and then I had to be more in the next 48 hours. And you know, but these things happen. You know, it's just part of the course. You just get on with it.
And what was the culture of Mauritius then? What did you see?
So it's an incredible island. It's in the Indian Ocean. It's, you know, there's 1.4 million people live on the island, and they get the same again coming to visit the island. It's beautiful. It's tropical. But then it's got this incredible luscious sort of mangroves and mountains and ocean and little islands. And the people are lovely. You know, it's a very, you know, they're very hospitable. They love looking after you. It's part of their nature. It's amazing multicultural. So it's got, you know, lots of influence from India, you know, some from China, some Africa. You know, it's got this, and then obviously the British and the French, the Dutch. So, you know, you get all these sort of vignettes of you know, of what happens. And you have to look back to look forward. You know, whenever we're looking at projects, we have to look at, you know, that location, and we have to really think about what's been going, what's been happening there. So getting under the skin of the people and the culture and what they do and how they live is really important before you start thinking about any fancy fine dining or casual dining or all day or bars or, you know, or pool bars or, you know, you have to understand that, you know, the culture of where you are and that location. And also the workforce as well. You know, islanders, you know, and people who are born in Mauritius very rarely, you know, go and study abroad and go and live abroad, because the life on the island is beautiful. It's amazing. It's, you know, it's bountiful. So actually, you know, their references when you bring in a team to work in the kitchen in a 5-star luxury hotel, you know, in a restaurant, in a kitchen for a restaurant, You have to work hard to get them to understand benchmarks for that luxury guest, because that luxury guest might be coming from, Cape Town or London or, New York or Dubai. And you have to help the team understand that that guest expects a certain level of cuisine or presentation, and you've got to take them on a journey. So actually, it's not only transformative for the guests staying in those properties, but it's also transformative for the teams working in those properties. So they get to see, what other influencers come from all over the world. So when it looks at the luxury guests, what do they expect from a level of service, a level of products, food presentation, different trends, all those things. So it's how I just talk about that with, Mauritius. The week before that, I was in Istanbul. And the week before that, I was in Zurich. So wherever you go, you have to do the same. Last week, I was in Glasgow. I was in Glasgow for a couple of days looking at a new project we're just starting to work on. And it's just outside Glasgow. And so, I found myself, spending some time in the property, but then going to a neighboring property and actually spending time there, Cameron House, and looking at that.
Yeah.
So, you have to look at, what's there and the people who live there and their culture to really get a good understanding. And then you've got to obviously think about your target audience, who's your target audience, and you've got to get yourself in their shoes as well. But, understanding and exploring what the opportunity looks like is lots of facets. And it's, there's trends, there's future-proofing, there's capability of the teams, and also the ambition for the client. Is it all, every single project we work on has to deliver an ROI, but you also have other objectives for the client. So they might want other things. So you've got to really understand the client, the key stakeholders involved in making those decisions. You've got to take them on a journey as well. And you've got to get, my job is, is getting them comfortable by getting uncomfortable and making change happen. That's always a huge part of the job.
And what's the sort of jackpot brief these days then? So someone comes along, and it's, I'm not saying you're perfect brand, because that can vary, and sometimes you should never meet your heroes, what I've learned. But, when someone comes along and says, right, I want Gorgeous Group to do this, what would be the brief that would get the best out of everything that you do?
I think if they came to us and they had, two scenarios. Scenario one, if they came to us and they just, bought a building and they were going to turn it into a hotel and they weren't so sure of, what the opportunity looked like, and they needed someone to come and do a market study and give them, a great discover piece of work where we understand and discover what the opportunity looks like in that marketplace, that is a great brief. And that can be for, any level of hotel, whether it's lifestyle, whether it's budgets, or whether it's luxury, or whether it's ultra luxury. The second brief would be going into any property, any hotel property, and being told by the client, we are happy with where this is, but we think it's got more potential. What can you do to make it better? So even if it's moving the dial, 10 degrees, it's moving the dial and making change happen and improving the experience to deliver something more, more profitable, but also something which is better for either the team or the guest experience. So those two briefs are our dream briefs. And actually, we pretty much get a lot of those. But it's always interesting when you get something out of, your sort of core, so for example, I was contacted just this morning by someone who operates some of the best, airport lounges in the world. And they just said, can you, we might need some help to redefine what that experience looks like.
That's a good one.
So we're taking the experience of what we do every day in hotels, in new hotels or existing hotels, and then we're applying that process and that knowledge and that approach to something which is slightly different, but it's all about delivering an experience. So that's that's my job, and I love personally I love that, because it makes me I like being, I like having to learn something new myself. So the idea of, being taken out of my comfort zone is really good. And the team, they love it as well. And that's, it keeps them excited, keeps their day exciting. As long as you don't get lost in just looking at doing all the stuff with the clients you really want to do, rather than you have to do every, you've got to, when you're managing projects, it's very easy to say, well, I'm very comfortable about looking at that project, so I'll spend more time on that. And actually our clients are paying for a, for a service and deliver something, very specific. So we can't lose sight of that fact. So managing those projects is really, really key. And we have to deliver, as I said.
Well, I think, that's a cracking project. A few years ago, I got asked to work on a, service station project, and I think that's very similar to airport lounges, where, and also I think there's £1 billion to be made in sort of mid-level airport lounges.
Absolutely.
Because there's just not enough of them, and the ones that you go to are horrendous. They are really poor. But obviously you then get to the Virgin ones, the BA ones, and if you're flying business, they are perfectly lovely. But there's that kind of lounge number ones, all these ones. And oh man, I think there's such an opportunity. It could be phenomenal.
Absolutely. I mean, just making things better is not a bad thing. And I think, the world has changed so much, especially since COVID, and the guest experience, traveling, especially when it comes to hotels or trains or airports and airplanes and cruise liners, the level of experience, the expectation has far, it's got huge, it's got massive, it's got vast, and interestingly, those sectors. Whether you're a hotel or an airport provider, an airline provider or a lounge provider, whatever, they found it really hard moving so quickly. So so the expectations from the user and the guest and the customer has got massive, because they've been exposed to to so many, they've been starved of some amazing experiences. So now they want everything, and because they've got the phone. They've seen, they've got access to the what great looks like, and they want it. So you find all the airlines and the hotels, and they're all desperately trying to catch up, and then they're all trying to make a difference. So actually, from our business has never been so great for us, but it's about making sure you can manage the expectation and also take people on a great journey of change, and that management is sometimes just with these big groups, no matter how luxurious they are or how famous they are, they are oil tankers. So you've got to go their way, and you've got to go through change the way they want to go through change. So it's quite challenging, but it's great fun, and you meet incredible people. And also in our industry, you'll find people just go from one position, one organization to another. So I work with clients today, I've been working with for 20 years, in different guises in different companies. So you always come back to them again, and it's great. It's always amazing meeting, old friends you've worked with 20 years ago who want to work with you now.
Definitely. Well, the couple of other things I was thinking then were just with what Gorgeous Group does, obviously, it's environments, experience, drink, food. Are you looking at the people side of things as well, and that operational side in a way?
We definitely look at operations in the sense that we have to look and understand what the capability of the existing team is, or what sort of level of operations capability we need to deliver the level of experience. So we definitely create experiences based on that, on the level of operations which are in place, or the ambition for the client. We don't recruit, and we do, we influence what sort of training should happen and perhaps who should do the training. But we do spend a lot of time, helping our clients understand the profile of the leaders they need in those key positions. Mm. And whether that's front of house or whether that's in the kitchen or whether that's from a resort sort of F&B perspective, you know, we are constantly saying to them, okay, this is the ambition. And we just need to, you know, make sure that from an operations point of view, we've got that level of expertise needed. It's no good creating an amazing concept around, you know, whatever, if you know full well that you're never going to be able to get a team or hire a team to deliver that.
Yeah.
So it's really important that you understand what the ambition and capabilities are in that marketplace. And it's very different. You know, it's, you know, you're looking at, you know, doing a project in Zurich, for example, you know, the team challenges are slightly different than when you're looking at, you know, opening a project in Manchester or opening a project in Istanbul or Dubai or Riyadh. You know, it's all very, very different. So you've got to understand that local culture when it comes to hospitality as well. So what, you know, what constitutes, you know, a great service experience and what does that look like from a nuts and bolts, whether the level of expertise which comes from those key leaders in that business.
A creative agency for the hospitality sector, Saved by Robots create compelling brands and memorable experiences through great design and engaging storytelling. From Scottish Restaurant of the Year Sugarboat to Tipjar, the digital tipping platform that's taken over the world, Saved by Robots excel at bringing ideas to life. As well as developing new concepts and refreshing existing brands, the robots provide outsourced graphic design to help multi-site operators grow with confidence. Check out their work and get in touch at savedbyrobots.com.
Hi everyone, I'm Lucy, Head of Sales at Airship and Toggle. Hopefully you've heard of us before, but in case you're not sure what we do, let me bring you up to speed. Airship is a leading hospitality marketing CRM, supporting operators by building a better understanding of their customers' visiting habits to help them target, personalise and automate their marketing and deliver a return on investment. And Toggle, which is our gift card platform and generated a whopping £48 million for the sector in 2023 through the sale of prepaid gift cards, experiences, tickets, merchandise and so much more. I'm here to tell you a little secret though. Airship CRM have a huge update coming, which is going to change hospitality marketing in 2024, making it faster and stronger than ever before. If you want to learn a little bit more before we launch, just get in touch with me on lucy@airship.co.uk or you can visit our website to learn more about what we do for hospitality at airship.co.uk.
Let's drill down into something that we're both very passionate about. So the D word, the shum. So, you know, obviously open near me in Brighton lately, yeah, is the Permit Room. And obviously you've been with them, you know, for many years, working with them, you know, hand in hand. I was lucky enough to sit in with them for a year there, you know, working with the marketing team, which I enjoyed thoroughly. And, you know yourself, it's every bit as lovely on the inside as it is on the outside. But yeah, tell us about Permit Room then. So what happened? What was the brief? You know, what were your thoughts when you, you know, were told? Because, it, you know, it was such a big statement, I think, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, when Shamal first came to me 12, 13 years ago, and you know, he basically said to me, we want to create the coolest Indian brand in the world. And, you know, I have clients say that to me all the time. You know, they want to, you know, and there was a massive ambition, huge ambition. But, you know, it's, I spent some time with him and Kavi and Naves, and we went to Bombay. I spent time there, and, you know, it was clearly evident that, you know, that there was a passion, a purpose behind, you know, the vision for Dishoom. And it was one of the most amazing experiences for me. And interestingly, for, you know, for my business, Gorgeous Group has been able to apply so many learnings, you know, from working with Dishoom to many of our projects, hotel projects and non-hotel projects. And interestingly, I've been able to, you know, influence Some of the work, some of the shoe through the experience I've had working with hotels as well. So it's been quite interesting. When Brian, who's incredible, who runs that business, I helped hire that Brian actually.
Wow.
I knew Brian before Dishoom, and he's always been
an amazing
guy.
Yeah.
And someone who doesn't necessarily drink the Dishoom Kool-Aid all the time, who's very much aware of the fact that you know you are as good as your last bowl of black dal. He's really into the detail, and he cares so much about that business, and that's fundamentally Dishoom is a people business more than anything else, whether it's Indian or all day, and it's a people business.
But
Shamal came to me and went, Robbie, we might need some help on permit room. We've got this idea. And they've been brewing for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Brian was so scared of permit room. He was so like, we had to do it right. And we had to, position it right. And we had to get the experience right. And, we had to make sure that there was a bit of difference in the between Dishoom and permit room. So it was very, we spent a lot of time looking at what that experience should feel like. So that's the most important thing. It's still got to be a love letter to Bombay to a certain degree, but it should be different. Dishoom is a very controlled experience. From queuing up for Dishoom is part of that transformative experience. It's part of taking you on that journey. It's like Disney, if you're in the queue and you're waiting to go on a ride, it's got to be magical.
Yeah.
And that Dishoom, journey starts at the queue. And then as you walk through the door, it's like a proscenium arch and the theater, and it just kicks off the whole thing, your senses. But it's a very controlled environment. Then you sit down, your order's taken, you're looked after, the food arrives. It's magical.
Mm-hmm.
With permit room, we wanted something a little bit more sort of intuitive, a bit more local, a bit more neighborhood, mm-hmm. and something where actually the guest took more control of their experience. And actually, there could be a little bit more sort of freedom. If I'm really honest, a little bit more democratic than Dishoom. Dishoom is democratic, but it's also very aspirational, and people go in there, and I love taking people into Dishoom every single day, and people go, wow. And I love it when people have never been to Dishoom, you take them there and you go, oh my god, this is so amazing. And permit room has to feel familiar, it has to feel comfortable, it has to feel cozy, and things like the drinks, the drink story had to be really important, and it enabled the team who are really passionate about drinks to really work at delivering something which could be A, all day, B, neighborhood, and C, it could be drinks forward, and then having the drinking food, the Dishoom classics to fit onto that, and then also to deliver something which could also support a delivery network. Permit room is a great business, but delivery is a key part of that business as well. So it was making it a little bit more accessible, and making sure it fit in to the neighborhood and that DNA, and that key word would be community. It really is important that it fit in, and that location, that particular location in Brighton, it's a really cozy neighborhood feel. But you can't just open your doors and expect people to come in, and no matter how great you are, without being part of the community first. And so that's really, really important. And Brian and Lisa, the team, have done an amazing job making that happen and making that work. And I think the Dishoom are the biggest critics. The team are, they're always, they want to make everything better than it is. But as it's grown, it's got richer and deeper. And it's really rare that when brands grow like that, what it's like, Mark, it's rare that they get richer and deeper. They get watered down and permit room is just different to Dishoom, but it's similar, and it's the younger sister. It's a little bit more rebellious, but it's definitely from the family, but it's different, and I love that.
It's phenomenal. And you know, the permit room, you know, I was lucky enough to go to the opening party and you know, hear it firsthand from, you know, Shamel and Cavi and Brian and you know, having their chats. You know, Navid was kicking about as well. And you know, I think it was just, you know, it really clicked with me when I was there, like what they were trying to do and what it was, because I was fearful as, you know, a huge fan, because when you look at the amount of, and I hate to say the word, but you look at the amount of sub brands or sister brand, whatever you want to call it, on paper, successfully, that's worked in hospitality, you're lucky if it's a postage stamp of names, right? But the big thing with them is, if anyone is going to do it, and they have, you know, it's them, and they've got time on their side. They don't rush anything. Everything is thought through to, you know, even, you know, putting DJ Waller on the DJ decks, and the thoughtfulness. And I mean, I got a few phone calls about it. They're chatting to everyone to see what their take is, and ah, oh, it's just glorious, you know. It's just glorious. And actually, I found pictures on Facebook of the permit room as it was like in the 70s in Brighton. So I sent them to Shamel the other day, and I think he was pretty pleased, you know, just because that's their bag. They would print those off and frame them, you know, like what it was before, you know. But I was just looking there on the menu. So, you know, a couple of things I was going to sort of say was, the naming is off the charts.
I don't think people understand how much work goes into the copy and. You do.
I
You know what? I love it when I'm taking anyone to the Zoom or permit room and they pick up the menu and they smile. And they
Yeah.
smile because the dish resonates with them, but they understand the work which goes into writing copy
Yeah.
and taking people on a journey and making them sort of just transporting them. And how you can do so much with so little words is
Yeah.
really important. But you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, it really is an art and a science,
Yeah.
putting things together. And you know, it's a huge part of my job and our team. And here we spend every day that we're always talking about menus and copy and names and tone of voice and all those things. But you're absolutely right. Dishoom has probably got one of the best one of the most detailed approaches to its to its language and its copy and its names and it's all very, very well carefully considered.
Well, so my favorite, have you got a favorite on the menu? Because I've certainly got one.
Go on, tell me.
So CBD Bang Lassie, and that's fine. That's like that, you know, it's good. But it's the coffee, right? So the holy drink, what does it say? Ours is with ginger, shredded mint, hints of allspice, and happy dashes of CBD botanical bitters instead of the traditional half ounce from a good dealer.
Yes,
Come on. That's
I remember
fantastic.
that. I remember our first. It was the first tasting I did with Brian and the team in Dishoom while I, in the HQ in short. And we tried some of the drinks. We had an amazing session, and the team prepared the drinks. And they've done lots of tastings internally, and then they present to myself and Shamel and Cabby and Brian and and the PR team and the marketing team, and actually Elise, who actually helps write some copy, she literally drums down on every single methodology, the history behind the
Yeah.
drink, the ingredients and the quirkiness, and also it's those little nuances, those little nip, and it's always great to have people the Bombay diaspora there, so they always have their own sort of. Shamel will talk about those references, and Carrie will talk about it, and those why they do things, and in India, and it's important to bring those stories actually into the in a very subliminal way. So, every single word is carefully considered. And that is, it can be the description, it can be from a ritual, it can be from a place, it can be from a place in time, an event, all those things. So nothing is wasted. And, you know, we have a phrase in our business, you know, my job is to deliver emotion per square foot. And everything we do, it's all about emotion per square foot. And part of that is obviously a little part of that is menu and storytelling. And you know, that is a critical part of what we do. And Dishu has literally more emotion per square foot than other brand I know. Mm. And the menu is such a big, you know, an important part. But, you know, Shamal, you know what it's like with, you know, his obsession about the stories and the narrative, and the menu is just, you know, it just trickles down from that initial story. So I don't have any favorites because it's all, you know, quite magical for me. But it's always good when you pick up, it's like the Dishu cookbook, the recipe book. Yeah. It's so much more than that. And you know, it's for me, I was watching Poor Things last week.
Oh, is it good?
It's fantastic. It's amazing. Yeah. It's just surreal. But what's amazing is, you know, there's so much about, you know, Dishu in films like that, because you don't just, you know, so many hotels and client, you know, some of my clients get obsessed about food. You know, they think it's all about the food. And actually I tell them, you know, this is a jigsaw puzzle of 1,000 pieces. Yeah. And you get one piece missing and the whole puzzle looks, you know, the complete picture doesn't connect, doesn't look good. And so, you know, it's 1,000 details. And you know, doing films like that and, you know, watching spectacular, epic, performances and, you know, set design and, you know, musical sort of, you know, the soundtrack and the characters and the placemaking and the props and the, you know, and the dialogue and the content and the plot, everything which goes into making a spectacular film like that is exactly what goes into making a great restaurant or a great bar on the high street or in the hotel, you know, and it's all those details. That's emotion per square foot, where you have to think every single, you almost need to sort of storyboard everything. And I think that's, you know, the team at Dishu do this so well. And because they're fortunate enough not to have, you know, they're not tied to, you know, really tight constraints about getting things open. They have to open two sites a year, or, you know, it's not that sort of business, you know. And I think and people say to me, they come to me and go, "We want another Dishu," and they have no idea. And it's interestingly, when we first started working with Shamal and Kavi, you know, they had no experience working in hospitality. No. And it was a complete minefield on certain respects. But then also they listened, and that was the key thing. They listened and they heard what we were saying. They, you know, we talked, you know, I remember having those conversations about soft opening, about dry runs, about team on team, and about the importance of culture and how to create an ambience, and how do we take guests on a journey from breakfast all the way through, and how the whole business and the spaces need to change. They need to be chameleon-like. You know, everything we do from a hotel perspective, for restaurants, is exactly the same. It's, you know, it literally is, how do we create these stories and deliver emotion per square foot? And that is what's so important. Every single day we're doing this. But Dishu took it all on board. They learned. And then we made a couple of mistakes right at the very beginning. Absolutely. And every day, you know, it's not all perfect. But they are their biggest critics, and they want to just deliver the best they can every single day. And that love letter to Bombay will never, you know, that and also that whole, you know, the whole culture around Seva and selfless service and genuinely looking after people, you know, is a huge, massive thing. But it set out to be the coolest, you know, Indian brand in the world. I'm not sure it's there yet. It's definitely on its way. Yeah. But those, you know, but people care so much. And that's, you know, it's always, you know, it's always amazing when we talk about Dishu as a case study. And also thinking about, you know, I remember the conversation we had in Bombay around whether we should do breakfast. That was a big conversation. It was a huge challenge. getting people to think about it and consider it, and then think about what that looked like from a menu, a delivery, an experience. And yeah, and we wanted to, you know, we wanted to go to approach landlords and have a great lunch business. But we all knew that, you know, there were so many perceptions about Indian food being a nighttime. So how are we going to get people there for lunch? And I was thinking, well, we actually, let's work at getting breakfast. You know, let's make it a day. Let's get that cafe feeling because we have to make the asset really work hard. And delivering emotion per square foot can't just be about 3 or 4 hours. So anyone who works in the shoe or permit room, you've got, I have big respect for, because it's not an easy business. It's it's full on, you know, 8 hours a day. It's not busy 2 hours at lunch and busy 2 hours at dinner.
Yeah. No, it's, they've just done such a good job. And, you know, and Shamo's coming on again, actually. He's going to be, that'll be the second time he's been on the podcast. But yeah, he's coming on soon. So I think we're April or something like that. But yeah, we're going to have a wee catch up, which will be nice. And I was lucky enough, you know, at the opening to sit with Saloni, his wife. And, you know, I was hearing, you know, her versions of how it all came about, and, you know, and just as you're saying, you know, kind of coming into it fresh. And then my mentor sort of all my life, really, Robert Bean, obviously.
He's great,
you know,
Robert.
So Robert worked on that, so yeah, he's very, very dear to me. So yeah, so no, it's all great. Okay, so last couple of things then. I'm just thinking about your time as well, which I really appreciate, because I know you're busy. Just thinking about, was there a project that you were sort of most proud of?
Oh gosh, I think, you know, there's so many different projects I'm really proud of. I think the getting hoteliers to think differently is really hard, and I really love it when they embrace you know, the challenge and want to make and move things on. And I did a piece of work, you know, we worked with the team, you know, behind the Kimpton in Manchester. And it was a monster property. It's the old palace. And as a child, I would go past it. And it was this beautiful old insurance building and on just, you know, just, it, you know, it's, it, you know, just opposite from the corner house. And, you know, and we had this 12,000 square feet on the ground floor, and they, you know, they wanted, we needed to create something which could work all day. And that size as well, you're thinking about, you can't just rely on one tribe. We've got to bring so many different tribes together. And I remember we came up with this big idea of, you know, engaging and working with a couple of great, very well-known DJs who had club nights, and getting them engaged to help deliver an amazing experience. And, you know, it was the guys from Volta, Luke and Justin. And I remember going to them and saying, you know, I love what you do with your club nights, and you've got this great, they have a great little restaurant in Didsbury. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be great if we could, you know, get you to, you know, help deliver an experience, a great, you know, restaurant bar experience in this wonderful space. You don't know anything about hotels, which is fine, because we, you know, we've got lots of people who know how hotels work. I don't need your experience in that way. I need your experience bringing tribes together. And, you know, I have to really, you know, put it out there that, you know, the team behind that property, and David Taylor, who's now CEO of Law, and Cody Bradshaw, who is the guy, one of the main guys at Starwood Capital, they really gave us permission to really challenge the normal sort of hotel, restaurant, and bar model, and really push that and deliver something which was very locally relevant and something which was exciting and what could really deliver amazing emotion per square foot, but then also could deliver great activation and profitability and curiosity and really interest. And then the second client I really enjoyed working with, and I still work with today, is Bob van der Hoed, who is at the who's the CEO of Langham Hotels. And he had this incredible space at the back of Langham London, which was the old spa, and he wasn't too sure what to do with it. And we agreed that we should do something quite radical, and we should turn it into basically a posh pub. And we created this amazing story around the Wigmore, of the and create this wonderful, almost like a tavern experience where, the lunchtime business was different to the evening. It was very chameleon-like. It worked from morning all the way through to the evening. And it became very locally relevant, but also it just happens to be attached to a luxury hotel.
Yeah.
And I think, those particular two projects have been great to help clients understand what opportunities could look like and take them on a bit of a journey. And we're able to, the work we do today with Otto and Four Seasons, and Hilton, has been amazing. Hilton's especially great because we've worked with them for a long time. And, now we're able to work with them in a bigger capacity and really help influence how experiences could be better when it comes to food and drink. And they listen to us. So it's great. So with all the projects we get so much from, but those are two particular ones that I think are really, great examples of working in a taking guests and taking clients on a journey and really, they trusting us and we are able to work with them in a very engaging way and deliver.
Yeah, for sure. And the Hilton lot are great, Steve and Kay and all that over there. Like they were so supportive of Hospitality Rising as well. Yeah. I live right next door to the Hilton in Brighton actually. So they're my neighbours. They're lovely, lovely. So a couple of other things then was just, I know it's a cliche one that you might eye roll, but are there any trends people should be looking out for maybe in the next year? Is rum finally going to have its day? Are bao buns dead? What's happening?
Gosh, I think from a trend point of view, I think it's important to really think about people don't go out for meal times anymore. They're going out for occasions, which I think is really important. So when we're working on projects today, we're really careful to really help our clients understand that the occasion or the experience of going out for an occasion rather than a meal time is the future. And that's really, really important. And thinking about how menus need to flex up, they need to make you smile. They're part of the journey, they're part of the story, but they are just as important. Food and drink is just as important as tableware and as music and soundtrack and lighting and the design and wardrobe and marketing and collateral and activation calendar. All those things are incredibly important. Storytelling in every single way, is important, but not being rammed down your throat. It's got to be intuitive. And if a guest inquires about a story, then, layer upon layer, you should be able to talk and bring that story to life. I think breakfast is really, is such an important trend. Hotel breakfasts, especially, they need they're going through a bit of a change at the moment, but they need massive change globally. Looking at what happens on the high street is really interesting. Thinking about trends around breakfast and how people eat breakfast, what they do and how we deliver and what that experience looks like. I think when it comes to style of service, much more emotional, much more intuitive, engaging, rather than serving me, look after me. And what does that mean? What does that look like? Obviously less fine dining, more fun dining, and really start thinking about those different elements of how you can bring the experience to life and how they can make the experience better. So whether that's technology, whether that's design, or whether that is making something more immersive, and also remembering that the restaurant and bar experience starts way, way, way before you sit down and have a bite to eat. So really thinking about all those different elements of how you bring that to life. And then obviously there's things like menu design and then interior design and then, menu structure, menu engineering, team training, shift briefing, all those key things which are really important. And what does that luxury guest of tomorrow look like? And, you know, and how do we, what do we mean by hyperlocal and hyper seasonal? And what do we really mean by sustainable? You know, it's got to make sense for the business, or else it doesn't make sense completely. So, you know, really thinking about all those things as well. So there's lots of things, and low and non-alcoholic, and, you know, and really understanding, being smart about the products, not making it too complicated, and making things simple. So many people get obsessed about, you know, overcomplicating, making it too difficult, too tricky. You know, really is important. But, you know, but also think about your people. If you can't deliver a transformative experience for your people, how do you expect to deliver an experience, a transformative experience for your guest?
Yeah.
So you can't underestimate how important that people delivery and that, you know, engaging the, and having, and being able to attract the right people is such an important part of what we do.
No, you're right. And you've just reminded me, actually, we said we were going to talk about this very quickly, was something was getting your goat about Dry January. So it'd be worth just a quick word on that, just for people to log it for next January.
I think people just, you know, they just, especially pubs and the high street and neighborhood, you know, they just get a bit lazy, and they just think, if you're not drinking, let's just do a couple of mocktails. I hate the word mocktail.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no element of experience around a mocktail, I can guarantee.
Yeah.
But also things like, you know, not being able to, you know, think outside the box. I was going past the Fog guys. They've got this great bar in Soho, and they were doing this incredible limited edition cocktail experience. And they'd taken some inspiration from the film Poor Things. And they were really clever because they'd been original, they'd been engaging, and they thought about the non-alcoholic experience too. And also, when we are looking at lunch, you know, business at lunchtimes, you know, think about low alcohol. Think about, you know, there's so much out there, and we've got great, you know, great journalists, you know, people like Alice Lassels and Sandra from Cocktail Lovers, you know, they really are there shouting to those top end, you know, restaurants and bars. But actually it's the mainstream, it's the, you know, it's the pubs, it's those big groups. You know, there really needs to be some thought and consideration on how you can deliver a low and a non-alcoholic strategy for your business. And also, how can you make it relevant for your concept? And how do you make it locally relevant?
Mm.
And think about the price point as well, and how you, the presentation, the glassware, the ice, the garnishing, and then how do we describe it on the menu? What do we, you know, how do we sizzle a steak? You know, all the little things. But yeah, there's lots of, you know, January is a frigging hard month. It's a
still
long
is. We're in January right now, and it still is.
completely. So I think it's definitely someone, you know, some of the guys pay lip service, absolutely. But I love it when you can go, you know, you can really, I went to Satan's Whiskers last week with some clients.
Oh yeah.
And it was just fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, the theater, the, you know, the energy, the creativity, the innovation. I was in Quant, I was in Tayan Elementary. Those are three of the best bars in the world.
Yeah.
And look at their non and their low alcoholic drinks. They are phenomenal. So anyone, any restaurant, any pub or any hotel in the world can look at those three bars and be inspired, and they can go back to their businesses and go, how can I really make a difference here when it comes to the guest who wants something low alcoholic or non-alcoholic?
Well, and shout out to Hawksmoor, the alcohol free Shaky Peach Ginger Brew, still one of my favourites. Okay, quick fire questions to finish then, and this is going to be hard for you. So, favourite city to eat in?
Can I have two?
Yes.
Manchester, because I'm always, it's Manchester's going on such an amazing role, but I love Manchester for going out. And going to town, you know, it's what we say in Manchester, you know, some amazing places to eat, and it's always exciting. And I think a lot of it comes because of the style of service. The people who work and live in Manchester, they love, you know, you can get an amazing you know, team in a, you know, so for me, it's brilliant when that happens. And also the multicultural approach to everything. So there's so many influences in Manchester, you know, the Indian food, the Chinese food, yeah. The Italian food, the Jewish food, the Israel, you know, it's amazing. Yeah. So I love Manchester. And then London, I can't, you know, I think London is still the most exciting city in the world. And I think, interesting, when you go out to all the villages, and whether it's Clapham or Kentish Town, you know, or whether it's Hackney or Notting Hill, there's always something there which is new and original. And I think it is hard opening business in London. Absolutely. It's really difficult. It's really tricky. But, you know, people take so many risks and, you know, they really make their, you know, their businesses work. And there's always something exciting happening and someone doing something different or something new, for not just for the sake of it, but they are, you know, they're challenging themselves and what's out there. So I think they're both very important cities for me from a food point of view, and eating out in those two cities it was amazing for me.
Yeah, good one. Right, favorite hotel?
Two as well.
Yeah,
okay, great. I mean, I've got to say Hotel de Cap Eden Rock, which is my sort of, I've already stayed there once and it's one of my clients, and it's probably the most luxurious hotel in the world for me.
Wow.
It's, you know, it's sheer, it's the thing, you know, it's what made me get into this business. You know, growing up was really, you know, we had no money, and watching those wonderful, glamorous Busby Barclay films and, you know, those Hollywood glamour. When you go and stay at Hotel de Cap Eden Rock, it's just mesmerizing. You never quite know what's going to happen. The sort of surprise and the delight, and also you are taken away from reality. You're transported to another world, another time. And the service and you the way you're looked after is just incredible. And my equally favorite place I love, and I think is a future of luxury, is the Nomad in London. I think it's an incredible property. How they take the New York story and tell it through a London lens, I think, is genius. So those are my two favorite properties.
Very good. Favorite coffee shop?
I love Flat White on Berwick Street, which is just around the corner from me here.
Yeah,
my office. The team are brilliant. I've been going there for years, and you know, they know what I like, and it's just always a great buzz. Coffee is seriously amazing, but it's consistent, it's energetic. But what I love about it more is it's just very Soho, and it feels as if it's been around. I love it because it's unashamedly Soho, and I love all the characters that go in there, and the team who work there as well. They're all passionate about what they do, and also they're a great slash generation who work there. So the guys are musicians and artists, but they always are passionate about delivering the most incredible cup of coffee. So I really love that.
So Soho is still my manor, really. If I'm in London, you know, it's just, yeah, it's my favourite place ever. And I know what you mean. It's not trying to be too hipster or, you know, anything like that. It's just, you know, and I guess maybe Bar Italia vibes and that, you know, being there forever type thing. So, yeah, nice. Favourite bar? Going to be tough for you.
I've got so many favourite bars, but I can't talk about them. But I've chosen a bar which I love going to and I didn't work on it, which is Bemelman's Bar, the Carlisle in New York.
Okay.
One of my favorite bars, purely because of the glamour, the you know, the experience, the emotional connection with sense of place, the music, you know, someone on the piano, the amazing martinis, the drinking snacks, you know, the beautiful boys and girls who work there, their uniforms, their wardrobe, their floor flair, the little attention to detail, the it takes you to another world. It's complete, you know, and I'd rather have an amazing martini and some great, you know, snacks and listen to a great pianist play an amazing track and a beautiful setting and think I'm in heaven, rather than spend an obscene amount of money on a fine dining restaurant, which is not going to deliver to all my senses. You know what I mean? I think there's so many bars I love going to, but actually that one, and I was there recently with a really dear friend of mine, Marina O'Glocklan, who's amazing.
Scottish, right?
We just got transported, you know, and it was magical.
Yeah. Well, I think, is Marina hung up her boots now, or is she still...
She's just living the life. She's doing what she wants to do, and she's I miss her writing so much.
Oh, good, God, yeah.
I saw her a couple of weeks ago, and we were having a lovely lunch. But you know, it's always she's still doing bits of writing and things, but she's for me. Her reviews were a masterclass in just how restaurants should work and how people enjoy restaurants. And I really miss her reviews, but I love when I pick up the Noble Rock magazine and read what she's written there. It's magical. Yeah. But
I think she was fair too. I think she was on the side of, rather than being a sort of pantomime villain, I think she
always wants every restaurant in the world to work.
Yes, that's what I appreciated about her.
We're going to Ireland, to Dublin in March for a long lunch, we put it in our diaries, and we're very excited. And she loves restaurants. It's not just about food. It's the package, and that's exactly what my business is about. Gorgeous Group is about delivering those true emotional connections, and she picks up on it all the time.
Yeah, no, I've never had the pleasure, but no, I'm huge, huge fan of hers for sure. And then the last question: favorite restaurant, and what would you be having?
Okay, there's two.
That's good.
So one is a place which is near me in Kent, just outside Deal, called Updown, which is this phenomenal restaurant with rooms in an old sort of cottage and outbuildings, and Ruth and Ollie are just incredible hosts and amazing. Ollie's an amazing chef, Ruth's an amazing front of house, and it's those that wonderful, the best restaurants in the world are when you see the chef patron or the owners out there running
for sure,
owning the floor, these guys are just incredible, and I love going. I've been going for since they sort of were doing a pop-up, doing a supper club, and now they're a proper restaurant and rooms, and they are amazing. For me, they are one of the best things ever to have happened in Kent, and I completely think what Updown do is just incredible. My favorite dish actually there, I would love, there's not a bad thing comes out of the kitchen, but they do occasionally they'll do a frito misto, and oh my god, it's incredible. Which is fab. And then our second one, which is just opened in London quite recently, called the Dover, which is just...
It looks fabulous.
Oh, my word. I love what Martin and the team are doing there. It's just old school Waverly in sort of, simple New York, London menu.
Lovely.
Just delivers on every single emotional connection you need to happen when you walk into your dream restaurant, from how it looks, how it feels, how it makes you feel, the team, the food, the presentation, the theater, the drama, the spectacle, everything about it is just gorgeous. And they do like these amazing potato cakes with caviar on. They're not like potato cakes my grandma used to make in Manchester. Phenomenal. And I think everything they do is just makes you smile, and it's just one of those special places. So I'm very fortunate. I've been a few three times, and I'm going again this week, which is very rare for me because I go to eat and drink in everywhere. So it's quite going back time and time again, and I do that with Updown. I do that. I'm going to be doing that with Dover, and I I love it. I love it.
Great. Well, listen, thanks so much for spending the time with me today. It's been brilliant. It's been a great start to my week, Robbie. And I know, we've been ever present, I suppose, in each other's lives since Yo Sushi back in the day. We've not spent enough time
Vickers,
together.
My best friends, she's adorable. Alison Vickers, I love her.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Alison was my boss there. And in fact, we're getting out for lunch soon. We're going to the permit room, weirdly. She's going to come down and see me down here. So, yeah, so it'll be nice to catch up. But, thank you so much. And I'm so just pleased for you. All your success, you deserve every part of it. And I'm glad you're going from strength to strength. So thank you for being on. And we'll catch up soon.
Thank you so much, Mark. Thank you so much.
So there you go. That was the glorious and gorgeous, obviously, Robbie Barge, founder of Global Hospitality Concept Agency, Gorgeous Group. Now, if you're not thinking about picking up the phone or dropping Robbie an email, I would be really concerned. I think every business needs a Robbie and needs Gorgeous Group to help guide them to get that depth, stickability, and as he says, delivering on that emotion per square foot. What an episode. I'm still reeling from it. I'll take so much from this experience chatting to Robbie, and I'm really looking forward to sneaking a wee lunch with him very, very soon.
This podcast is sponsored by Vita Mojo, the all-in-one restaurant management platform helping operators grow ATV, reduce tech complexity, and serve guests better. Just visit vitamojo.com/supersonic and get in touch with the team right away. That's vitamojo.com/supersonic. So this is me, Mark McSee, signing off for another podcast, and I'm really looking forward to the next time we're together. Next time, we'll hear from many, many more interesting people with top tips, tricks, and tales that will make your brand boom.